chains were fastened tight down at the jail that night. Still Paul and Silas would not be dismayed. They said, it's time to lift our voice, sing praises to the Lord. Let's prove that we will trust him, come what may. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. He loves to hear our praise on our cheerful days, when the pleasant times outweigh the bad by far. But when suffering comes along and we still sing him song, that is when we bless the Father's heart. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. God wants to hear you sing when the waves are crashing round you, when the fiery darts surround you, when despair is all you see. God wants to hear your voice when the wisest man has spoken and says your circumstance is as hopeless as can be. That's when God wants to hear you sing. That's when God wants to hear you sing.
Sing, amen. If you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter number 53 this morning, a familiar passage of Scripture. But I want us to look at this, and I believe the Lord wants us to look at this morning. Definitely a privilege to be able to preach. Normally I get to sit, amen. But it's always a privilege to be able to preach to you, with you. This message is more for me, as the Sunday school message was more for me than it was for you. It's a challenge to me about this passage of Scripture here. But Isaiah 53, I would have you stand, but I wouldn't know when to put you down. And I don't want you standing all service long. So we're going to sit and we're going to reverence the Word of God while we sit. Amen. Verse number one, we're going to read the whole 12 verses. But the Bible says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it was, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This morning I want to try to preach to you, try to challenge you with this message of what a Savior. What a Savior. And isn't he a great Savior? Yes, he is. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get right into the message. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for all that you do for us, Father. I do pray that you please bless our day today. Father, I do pray that you please help me as I preach your word. May we lift you up. May we present to you as you are, Father. I do pray that you please give me your wisdom. Pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit power. I pray that you please help these folks that are seated here today. They need to hear from you this morning. They don't need to hear from me. Pray that you please bless them today for being here. Please be with those that are sick and not able to be here, but viewing from online. I pray that you bless them and help them today. We love you. Thank you so much for being a wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My job as a preacher is not to reinvent God so that it better pleases you. As a preacher of God, my sole purpose is to lift up the Savior as He is according to the Word of God. It's not to paint a rosy picture. It's not to paint something that is palatable to you, but it's the reality of what it is in Scripture. Most of us have seen the Passion of the Christ and seen, maybe you haven't, maybe you have. And when you look at it from the eyes of a Christian, a Bible-based Christian, it's like, man, that wasn't even close. That wasn't even near. That wasn't even a tenth of what it was. And the reason for that is because we have a great Savior. What a Savior. One of the songs that I love to sing, Brother Jeremy turned me towards that. Hallelujah, what a Savior. I thought it was 118, but it wasn't. But it's 151. I love reading and singing it because of the truths that are in there. Man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was he. Full atonement. It wasn't that partial. You don't need to work your way to heaven or work your way to keep it. But it was a full atonement. His blood was sufficient for me. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Lifted up was he to die. It is finished. Woo! Aren't you glad that's in the Word of God? Because if it wasn't, we'd be lost and undone without Christ, without his Son. But he said it is finished. He finished what he started. Amen. It says, it is finished was his cry, now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. When he comes, our glorious King, all is ransomed home to bring. Then anew this song we'll sing. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And I want to tell you this morning that we have a Savior worth singing about. We have a Savior worth shouting about. We have a Savior worth sharing about. We have a Savior worth living about. Understand, we'll get into the message. That's not the message, but the message is, notice, they're all S's, amen, this morning. And so they may work and they may not, but they sounded all right. But anyway, I don't normally do all S's or all alliterated sermons and stuff, but the first word is also. But anyway, notice the sprouting Savior. Notice in verse number 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. Amen. Aren't you glad that our Savior is unique to any other Savior in other religion? Our Savior came from a virgin womb. Our Savior came not from man's blood, but from the Holy Spirit of God, implanting within Mary the seed of Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. Amen. Why? Because he was a sprouting Savior. He was a tender plant, the Bible says, as a root out of a dry ground. See, God didn't need our help to bring Jesus Christ to this earth. He brought him his way and the way that he desired. You try to go ahead and go out there right now and throw some seed out on the ground, see how it takes. Amen. Number one, all the birds would take it away. But if you don't water it, don't till it, don't do anything, just throw it out on the ground and see what happens. Nothing. But God Almighty could take a woman that is a virgin, not known by man, and implant into her the seed of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have a Savior. Why? Because he's unique. He is not like any other God. He's not like any other Savior. He's not like any other man. Why? Because he was the God-man. Why? Because he was sprouted from the very dirt, as in Isaiah saying what kind of birth he would have. Notice the standard Savior. And I say that because of the fact that he wasn't special in our eyes. Do you see verse number 2? It says here, he hath no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He didn't come with prestige. He didn't come with an entourage. He didn't come with many groups of people that were praising his name. He came to a stable, to an inn, to a trough, a feeding trough, a manger. Not where a king is presented, not in kingly robes, not in a vesture that is nice and the nicest that you could have, but it was swaddling clothes. It was poor men's rags. It was, if you were to have that rag basket, maybe you have, we have a rag basket. It's got all my stained shirts that I work on buses with, and I shouldn't work on them, but I forget to, you know, change clothes or whatever. Yeah, we got that. Poor men's rags. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why? Because he was just ho-hum. He wasn't Saul, who was head and shoulders above everyone else. He was a kingly man. No, Jesus wasn't. He was took the form of a servant, the Bible says. Form of a servant. Why? Because of what a Savior he is. Because of his sprouting Savior. Because he was just a standard Savior, if you will. Notice the sorrowful Savior, though. He is despised. Aren't you glad the Bible says he is despised? He's still despised. Still despised by the Jewish people. Still despised by a lot of people that are out there. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Couldn't even look him in the face. Before we give Peter a hard time for denying Christ 3 times, let's look at our life. How many times we denied him by our actions. And denied him with how we live our life. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Notice not only of the sorrowful Savior, but notice the suffering Savior. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Notice that Jesus Christ, he knows your pain. The Bible says he was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knew what it was like growing up as a young one. The only age group he didn't was the senior saints, amen. But everyone else, he knew what it was to be a baby. He knew what it was to be a young person. He knew what it was to be a young adult and an adult. And he knew what it was. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. We could care less. And ain't that the truth? That we'll get into that a little bit later on. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we did. The Jewish people, they did, but we did as well. With our sins, he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yeah, we did esteem him. We didn't spend it. God came looking for us. We didn't go looking for him. And we didn't esteem him. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Iniquities are those sins that we do that we know are wrong, but we do them anyway. Which are a lot. If we're honest with ourselves. The Bible says here that in verse number 5, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Aren't you glad there's healing? Aren't you glad there's a balm in Gilead? Aren't you glad that there is a way of escape? Why? Because notice the suffering Savior. He had to suffer so that you wouldn't. Because you'd be on the cross instead of him. You would be paying for an eternity in a place called hell with damnation and destruction and where the worm dieth not and where there's no any semblance of any hope of an end. Why? Because he suffered for you. He was afflicted for you. With his stripes and we could go into scripture and see it in the New Testament how that not only were the stripes, but in Psalm chapter number 22, it's a prophetical statement, prophetical passage of Jesus Christ that he could look down and see his bones stare up at him. It wasn't a little beating. It wasn't a little scratch. It wasn't a little bit of drop of blood. It looked like a horror show. It looked like one of those axe murderer things that you would never go to, and hopefully you never go to. But that's what it was. It was him being beaten with a cat of nine tails until he could no longer see the skin, but the bones of his rib cage stared up at him. That's what he did for you. That's the Savior that died for you. It wasn't some drip coming off of a forehead. It was a 3 or 4 inch thorns. That they plated and they didn't place it on his head. They beat it on his head with a reed. He did that for you. He suffered the affliction for you. That's what a Savior for you. And we are not willing to do something for him. How often I'm not willing to maybe spend a few extra moments in Bible reading. Maybe not willing to spend a couple extra moments in prayer. Not willing to go soul winning because he's just an oh-hum Savior. My Savior wasn't an oh-hum. He wasn't another Savior. He was the Savior. He is the Savior and still is the Savior. And he is the coming Prince of Peace. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He suffered for me. He suffered for you. There's nothing I wouldn't do for him. And there's nothing you wouldn't be able to do for him. I think of the 4th of July and how that the men, the women, those that forged to have the freedoms that we have today, to sit here and not be in a gulag, and to sit here and not be approached with machine guns and telling us that we can't meet to worship and have preaching because of some that said, it wasn't, it's just America. No, it's, oh, say, can you see? It is America. I love, oh, just as much as we're gung-ho for the red, white, and blue, we should be gung-ho for the red that was the red of the blood that was shed for us. The blood that was shed for us. We should be, just as we're, you don't burn the flag in my presence. Well, let's do something for the Lord. Let's do something great for Him. We'll die, and there have been many that died, and many have shed their blood, and they deserve the honor due unto Him. But we can't honor God with a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night for church. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to show you what a Savior He is. He's worthy. I'll make it to 4th of July. I'll make it to fireworks when I can. I'll vote when I can. No. Those that have come before have forged their blood, sweat, and tears, signed a document that surely pronounced their death. The 55 authors or signers of the Declaration. And they did die. They were absconded, and they were sent out like they were nothing. And they were treated like nothing, but they said, America is a nation under God. A God that is blessing us and giving us an opportunity. And just as we would fight today for America if they asked me to, I'm going to fight for the Lord. I'm going to fight for the Lord for my walk with Him, my talk with Him. I'm going to fight for the Lord to present the gospel to everyone that I can. Why? Because what a Savior He is. Why? What a Savior. I can give up, and it's not really giving up anything. He's given us everything. So I can come to a Sunday morning. I can come to Sunday school. I can come to a Wednesday night. I can come to a revival service. I can come to the different events that we have. Why? Because of what a Savior He is. He's given much. He's suffered much. He was sorrowful. He bore our griefs. He knows what you're going through. And I'm not being belittling of people's situations and why you can't come and different things that happen in life. God knows all that. He knows your heart. He knows what you're going through and what is going on. Notice the suffering Savior. But notice this. Notice the silent Savior. One of the greatest verses, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's where we are in America. What do you think? You want to be a woman today? You want to be a boy today? You want to be an animal? They got furry things that you could be. Why? Because we have turned everyone to his own way. And we still continue to do that. Why? Because we forget of what a Savior He is. The reason why our country is going down the tubes faster than a plumber can get to keep it from going where it needs to go is because of a lack of us. Me. Because I don't view our Savior as what a Savior all the time. I neglect to tell people about the Lord. I neglect to pray. I neglect to read my Bible sometimes. I neglect to do what God sometimes asks me to do. And that's why our country's going down the tubes faster than we can save it. And it's not going to be saved in the White House. And it's not going to be saved at the polling places. It's going to be saved by the people of God, noticing what a Savior He is and telling people about it. Nothing like word of mouth. Nothing like word of mouth. You get a good place. Good man, there are great places to eat back east. Ate at a place called Hudson's. It was there when I was a kid, and it's still there, and it looks the same. And it tastes the same, amen? It's good. but word of mouth. You get a good place to eat, guess what? You share it. You share it to the rooftop. You'll post a pic. You'll do a selfie with you and your food. Oh, look at this. Ah. But we can't tell how great of a Savior He is by telling someone how they can escape the fires of hell. Understand, I'm trying to help you to see that's what God wants for you. God wants you to be a witness for him. God wants you to be the best witness that you could ever be. And the only way you're going to be the best witness you're going to be is getting in God's house. Why? You could study the Word of God on your own. Yes, you can. But you're not going to get the wisdom of a pastor. You're not going to get a wisdom of different men of God, ladies of God, that could be around, that could help you and bring you along. Why? God is trying to grow you. God is trying to increase your faith. God is trying to get you not to do less for him, but to do more for him. Understand, I don't do what I do because I have to. I do what I do because I want to. Why? Because just as great as this country is, as great of a Savior he is. Why? Because of the fact that he was suffering. He was silent. It says, we've turned everyone to his own way. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. How often does that happen? How often does that happen where someone who is innocent doesn't say anything? Not very often. I can definitely tell you that in our politicals, the one guy that's getting hammered right now, he's got a lot to say. Our Savior didn't. He had nothing to say. He was quiet. He was silent. The Bible says he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and for me. He could have said, Father, kill them all. But he didn't. Why? Because he was silent. He knew the stakes were high. Because a soul, there's no price tag on a soul. Oh, it's too expensive to run those buses. It's too expensive to air condition these places. No, it's not. What's the price of a soul? How much is the value of a soul? Jesus said, I could have called 10,000. I could have called a legion of angels, and I could have done that, but I was silent. I would have rather taken the affliction and the rebuke and the disdain of being the fact that he was a glutton and all these things, that he blasphemer and all the, he wanted to take that instead of calling down and showing everyone who he was. He said, you know what? It's more important that you have life eternal. It's more important that you have life eternal. It's more important that you have life eternal instead of me proclaiming my greatness, which he is great. He is great, amen. And he is a God above all gods. But in this case, he said, it's more important for you to know that I love you. I died for you. I bled for you. I suffered for you. I was silent for you. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing at all. Man, I could definitely get myself in trouble if I... Anyway. Could probably use that on a few occasions. Notice the silent Savior. Notice the sacrificial Savior. Again, he was led as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Understand that he was a sacrificial Savior. He wasn't a Savior that was just like, he had no skin. No, he had his whole body. He had his whole body in the game. It wasn't like, oh, it's too hard, man. I don't think I can do that. I think that's just too, God's asking too much of me. Good thing God didn't ask too much of Jesus. See, when we look at what Christ did for us and compare to what God is asking of us, it's like, it's not even a question. Too hard? Is anything too hard for God? No, nothing's too hard for you, Lord, because when I look at what Christ went through and what he did for me and the sacrificial life that he gave for me, man, what a Savior. The Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Aren't you glad God was satisfied? Satisfied with the sinless life. Satisfied with the sinless death. Satisfied with a sinless Savior dying for you and for me. The blood that was shed, God said, I'm good. I'm all right. Good with me. Y'all are great. Aren't you glad that we have a sacrificial Savior? And then notice how that he's a supreme Savior. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Aren't you glad Jesus made intercession for your soul? Because without it, you'd be lost. So go ahead and work your way to heaven. See how it goes, because Jesus is trying to intercede for you on your behalf for eternity. But religion gets in the way. Religion gets in the... I didn't say Bible. I said religion gets in the way. That's man trying to put a stamp of approval. Give me the book. Give me the Bible. Give me what the Word of God says. The Bible says that he has made intercession for the transgressors. He's made it already. It's already done. He's already done the deed. He's already interceded for you. All he needs for you is to say yes. Yes to the Savior. Not to Lord. That comes after. But yes to Savior. He needs to be your Savior. If he's not your Savior, then my friend, he did all those things for nothing. He did all those things for nothing. But you know what? There are some that did receive. There are some that do receive. And he did it for them, even if they didn't want it. Even if they don't receive it, God still did it for them. Aren't you glad that God isn't partial to one sect of people or one sect of group? He died for all men, all sin. He died for everyone. And because he died for everyone, everyone has the opportunity to have a Savior in their life. See, some of us have a Savior that's a religion. Some of us have a Savior that's a baptismal membership. Some have a Savior that's, I'm working on it. Some have a Savior that's, you know, I have my own way. You hear that a lot. Oh, I worship God my own way. But this sacrificial Savior, he can only make intercession. He's the only one. In Isaiah, he says, the Bible says that he made intercession for the transgressors. And there's no one here that isn't a transgressor. So today, do you have what a Savior? What is God asking of you that you're not willing to give to him? Maybe it's time. Time in church. Time in the Word. Time in prayer. Time in helping others. Maybe it's time telling people about the Lord. Maybe it's, I need to get rid of this. I need to get rid of that. Is he, oh, what a Savior to you? That's all right. I got my fire insurance. I'm okay with that. God is willing to take you as far as you want to go in your life. And today, if that isn't Savior, it needs to be. Open arms. He said nothing for you. He could have said, I'm innocent. I am the God of heaven. But he was silent for you. He was silent for me. What a Savior. Your heads bowed, your eyes closed. As we look and we notice our Savior, and oh, what a great Savior he is. I'm praying, as it is in my heart and my life, that it would encourage us to go forward and do more for the Lord, not less. So much more as you see the day approaching when it comes to church attendance. Not so much the less, but so much the more. Why? Because he's a great Savior. Why? Because he's a wonderful Savior. He was a sorrowful Savior. He was a suffering, a silent, sacrificial. And he will be and is a supreme Savior if you're willing to allow him to do that for you today.